Feeling kind of good on this Monday, right? Saints looked terrible in the first half. Even the beginning of the second half. And suddenly, the spark hit the Saints. And it was the block punt by Taysom Hill. This is what we mean on this show when we talk about emotion being a key factor in winning football games. Emotion, your attitude is a key factor. Believing that you can win, believing that you can do something, having confidence. That's a key factor in everything in life. Whether it's making a sale, you're in a business deal, or whatever it is that you do. This has a lot to do with winning. And so, you know, yesterday you and I are watching the game, or you're listening to it on WWL, and I mean, my God, what are the Saints thinking here? This is terrible. Three rushing yards in the first quarter? Three. Like one, two, three. That's it. It's the same, basically. We've got a few changes, but it's basically the same offensive line. Kamara, Ingram, still in the backfield. Three rushing yards. That was terrible. And the Saints are behind 14-3 at halftime. And then I'm thinking, okay, they're going to get in there at halftime and totally regroup, and man, they're going to come out on fire. Well, they didn't come out on fire. They take the opening kickoff of the second half. There's a fumble. The Bucs recover deep into Saints territory. Fortunately, the Saints defense, and man, Cam Jordan and Sheldon Rankins, man, they had really, really good games. They weren't the only one, but they had really good games. So the Saints defense stops them. And so the Bucs try a field goal. Missed. So the Saints were really lucky there. So they had no spark in the second half until this moment.
Fourth and three, Anger out to punt, and it's blocked. Taysom Hill is through with the punt block, and the Saints recover at the 30-yard line, and that's the kind of play this team needed in this game.
Put him at quarterback or tailback and let Taysom, it's the Taysom Hill show.
All right, so doesn't this really prove the point that emotion is the factor? And going into the game against the Cowboys had the emotion, not the Saints, and that's why the Cowboys beat the Saints. Man, you can line up the stats and you can say that there's this matchup and that matchup and these players are better than these players and this offensive line's better than this defensive line. You can do all of that all you want. But if you bring emotion into it, emotion can trump all of that stuff. And that was proven yesterday. Because those were the same players. The same players that scored, 25 unanswered points? 28-14. The Saints were behind at the beginning of the second half, 14-3. And so they just came roaring out after Taysom Hill blocked the punt. I mean, the guy was Superman. I mean, and the guy flew through the air with the greatest of ease. And that was the spark that started to get those same players to play differently. Drew Brees was off. The Saints were off. And so, again, emotion plays a very, very big part of it. Here was another. Drew Brees also took to the air. He went flying over the line for a touchdown.
Fourth and goal from the half-yard line. Brees under center. He goes over the top and signal touchdown. Saints with the touchdown, and they take the lead here in the fourth quarter in Tampa Bay.
I mean, what about this touchdown with Mark Ingram? I mean, they're just like, in fact, I got a text earlier that Mark Ingram was like Rudolph. You know, he was like pulling a sleigh of people. And he was. And Mark Ingram was not going to be denied. He made it into the end zone.
Second down and one. Ben Watson starts in the eye, moves in to the offensive line. Handed off to Ingram up the middle. He finds a gap, breaks another tackle across the five. Reaches across the goal line. Touchdown, Mark Ingram.
And after the game, Drew Brees did acknowledge that there was the first half and then there was the second half.
You know, we didn't run the ball as well as we wanted to in the first half. I don't know what our numbers ended up being, but just felt like, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of balance. And, you know, penalty stopped us on the first drive. We got into third and long, and then we got in another third and long that second drive. I can't remember why, but, you know, listen, if we can be in third manageable situations, which means good first and second down efficiency, then, you know, we typically put good drives together and go down and get points.
All right, so is that the spark? Is that the spark that just sends the Saints on to victory? 1 week from tonight, the Saints will be in Carolina taking on the Panthers. I know the Panthers don't have a really great record this year, but they're still a dangerous team because they still have a lot of talent. And Cam Newton is a very talented player when he wants to be. And if he's got the emotion, if he's got that going for him, you know, he's a formidable foe. And then the Steelers come to town. And we were talking about this earlier. Is it my imagination, or are the Steelers like the ugliest team in the NFL? I mean, it just seems like they've always been ugly. I mean, they're just an ugly team, starting with Ben Roethlisberger. And so then I got a text that asked me if I ever looked in the mirror, because I'm uglier than Ben Roethlisberger. And I admit that this has been a controversy that's gone on in this city for a long time. Who's uglier, Ben Roethlisberger or Scoot? And, you know, I can't answer that question because, you know, beauty is subjective, and it's up to you to decide. I can't decide, you know, if I'm better looking than Ben Roethlisberger, but I just think the whole team is ugly. But somebody sent a text many years ago. There was a great, great wide receiver, Lynn Swan, and he was a really handsome guy. So, you know, you do have some that are good looking, but collectively as a team, I mean, the uniforms, everything, I mean, they're ugly. Anyway, they're coming to town, and they can be a formidable foe. And then the Saints end the season against the Panthers. Now, if the Saints have everything locked up, home field advantage, I don't care what happens in the games after that. But, man, let's keep playing and fighting till we get home field advantage. Because I think in the playoffs, I could be wrong, but I think somebody sent me a text earlier, we're 6-0 at home in the playoffs. We're 1-5 on the road in the playoffs. And I think this is under Sean Payton. So this is why we don't want to go through Chicago. We don't even want to go through Los Angeles. And thank you to the Chicago Bears for handing it to the Los Angeles Rams last night. That was awesome. I was at the airport last night. We were live on WWL Radio Facebook, talking to some of the fans there. They had fans with daiquiris and beer, and they're out there hanging out. I mean, it was cold. I mean, it was cold and windy. But they were out there anyway. I mean, a large contingent of fans showed up at the airport when the Saints arrived, which was about 7 o'clock last night. And we've got the full video of the players and the coaches in their cars and Jeeps and trucks coming by, and the people cheering as the players came by. It was a lot of fun. It's always interesting and fun to do that. So you can find that if you want to relive that moment and you weren't there. It happened about 7 o'clock last night, so you can scroll down on our Facebook page, WWL Radio, and find it and see what that looked like. But, you know, again, it's just the cars. It's just the trucks. You do see some of the players. Drew Brees honked his horn when he came by, and the players wave, and some of the players are taking video of the fans greeting them. But it's celebrating a victory, and it's being there when the team returns home, and the team absolutely loves it. So I thought that was a fun time, even though it was a little on the chilly side. All right, I want to add to the conversation. Comedian actor Kevin Hart selected to be the host of the Oscars. 2 days after that was announced, he quit because there was controversy over past anti-gay jokes. So should a celebrity be judged by anti-gay jokes told 10 years ago? I mean, what if that person has changed? Should you still be held accountable with what you said 10 years ago? I mean, politicians change all the time. Do we hold them accountable for what they say? What about a celebrity? And what celebrity? A celebrity who, if you could have anybody host the Oscars, who would it be? Because they're still looking for somebody. And as they're looking for somebody, who's the one person that you would never, ever, ever want them to hire to host the Oscars? If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. Here's what Kevin Hart told the Academy. Yeah, he's done. It's over. All right, if you want to join us, 260-1870. Text 870-870. I'm Scoot. Chilly Monday afternoon, but it is beautiful, and the Saints won, so that feels great. And we'll be back on WWL. All right, we're dedicating this song to Taysom Hill. Oh, he came to the emotional rescue with that block punt, right? Sing it, Mick. I can't hear Mick Jagger's voice without picturing him strutting around on stage. Yeah, that was the emotional rescue for the Saints, the block punt by Taysom Hill. So here's an update on our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Should a celebrity be judged by anti-gay jokes told 10 years ago? 100% say no. You can give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. So we're also talking about who should host the Oscars. And I think sometimes it's easy to talk about who should not host the Oscars. I mean, there are a lot of people who could do it. I've got three names that come to mind. Rosie O'Donnell, Roseanne, and Robert De Niro. I mean, I like Robert De Niro, but, you know, he would turn it into a political show. And if I want to see politics, I'll turn on CNN, Fox, or MSNBC, and not the Oscars. So if you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, text 870-870. And here's a text that does confirm what I said a few minutes ago. Yes, the Steelers are ugly. But, you know, let's save that conversation. We've got the Panthers coming up in Carolina a week from today. Let's save that for after that game. We'll save the conversation for how ugly the Steelers really are for the week of the game of the Steelers. Let's go to Houston. Kirk, you're on WWL.
How are you doing this afternoon? You doing good?
I'm good.
Okay, I have a story, and I have a prediction. My story is when you was playing Ain't No Stopping Us Now, I remember growing up in New Orleans and riding a bicycle with my friend, my best friend. He was riding to St. Bernard Parish, and that song came on, and we was having a good time, and all of a sudden we got a flat tire. Both of us got flat tires.
That's not a good memory.
So every time I hear that song, I think about that.
Well, let's hope the Saints don't have anything equivalent to a flat tire as they go through the rest of the season.
But on the Saints, I predict that they're not going to lose another game, and they're going to the Super Bowl. And don't be surprised if the Rams lose another game.
Well, and yeah, they still have a few tough teams to play.
Philadelphia could beat them next week because I think Philadelphia is kind of mad on that fluke play that lost them the game last night against Dallas in overtime. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they do come back and win that.
Yep. And on Chicago, their quarterback sucks.
Yeah, you know, he's really been good this year. He's done a lot of good stuff, but he's not as consistent as I guess quarterbacks should be. Oh, by the way, also, I mentioned this maybe a year and a half ago. I mentioned a name, a Democrat, who I think would be a really good person to run for the presidency in 2020. Because there just seems to be few names. Well, you know, there's a local name going around. But Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper is now hinting that he may run for president in 2020. And from what I know about him as mayor of Denver, as governor of Colorado, it just seems like this would be a really good guy who could help heal the country. I'm not saying that I would vote for him. I don't say who I vote for. But he would be a very, very good candidate representing the Democrats. And by the way, he's not progressive, because these Democrats that think we need a progressive candidate, if you have a progressive candidate, you're not going to win. From the North Shore, Don, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got to tell you, I agree with the 100%. There are only two questions about whether or not the joke should be held against him. One, was it done with malintent? And if it was, then that's different. But number two, and more importantly, was it funny? Was it funny?
Well, you know, that's...
He's not funny. I mean, that's a key.
That's a key.
I mean, I can remember... Have you ever heard of a comedian named Carlos Mencia?
No.
Carlos Mencia, you ought to look at him. He's hilarious. He's an Hispanic male. And he does these jokes called the deep-ditty jokes. And they're about people who have mental conditions that aren't mentally as up to speed as some of us are. Mm-hmm. There was a young man who was in the audience, and he was one of these types of people. He suffered from what was known as mental retardation, actually, and that's what he said he suffered from. Mm-hmm. And he says, and he got mad because Carlos Mencia, when he seen him, Carlos Mencia didn't do any of the jokes, and Mencia told the story. The little boy got mad at him. He says, I didn't pay to hear these jokes. I paid to hear the good jokes.
Yeah, I mean, no, look, you're right. I mean, I'm all for keeping comedy pretty much wide open. Don, I'm glad you called. I mean, that is a key. Were the jokes funny? And if they weren't done with malicious intent and they're just funny jokes, I mean, who cares? I mean, can't we laugh? I mean, really, it's something that comes up quite often. It's almost as if we can't laugh anymore. Or if something offends you and somebody else is laughing, you're mad, but you're laughing at something else that offends the other people who were laughing when you were offended. So you see, we just got to lighten up a little bit and realize that, you know, a joke is a joke. I mean, I play jokes on this show. I mean, I play jokes. I play stuff on this show. I say things on this show that just because it's funny, not because I'm trying to promote something. And I guess you could argue that Saturday Night Live has an agenda because that's a group of liberal people. Collectively, they're liberals. So they write from that perspective. But I think they're after the joke more than they're trying to destroy a politician's career. I mean, it may be a little bit of both, but, you know, some of the jokes are funny, some of them aren't. But their goal is to just is to make you laugh. And that's why, you know, this idea that, oh, my God, that's so offensive. Well, remember that when you're laughing, somebody else is offended. So should you lose your right to laugh because somebody else is offended? If you're offended, if you don't like the joke? If you want to join us, 260-1870, text 870-870. Here's a text that says, Ellen would be the best to host the Oscars. Ozzy would be the worst. Here's a text that says, I'm not a Trump fan, but I would love to see him host the Oscars. Oh, come on, man. That would be great, huh? Would we have a show? If Trump hosted the Oscars, would we have a show? All right, I thought we would dedicate this song to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Sure feels good on a Monday afternoon, doesn't it? Saints 11-2. Not bad. And I tell you, what started out to be a dismal game turned out just fine after Taysom Hill blocked that punt. Do you think Sean Payton is saving Taysom Hill? Because in the game against the Cowboys and the game yesterday, it didn't seem like there were a lot of plays involving him. And so maybe the strategy is we're not going to show any of those plays now. Now, we need to do enough, and we didn't do enough to win against Dallas, but, I mean, we're okay now. But we need to do enough to make sure we have home field advantage because the Saints do a lot better in a playoff game in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome than they do on the road. So that is of utmost importance. And, you know, I guess you can only save so much, but it is smart to just do what you have to do to win at this point and not worry about showing anything special because, well, you save that. So I do understand that philosophy. Going into this next break, I've got a song. A listener sent this to me, and I think he's actually in the band. The Melotons is the band. And the song is Take 'em to the Woodshed. Take 'em to the Woodshed. And it's about the Saints taking teams to the woodshed. And that's kind of what we need them to do. So we're going to play that going into this break here in just a few minutes. From Uptown, Jenny, welcome to our show.
Hi, Scoot. How are you?
I'm good.
I think Seth MacFarlane would be a good choice to host the Oscars. He hosted a prior award show, and he did a really good job for being a new one.
Yeah, he had not done that. Yeah, and this guy behind, Family Guy and King on the Hill? No.
Yeah. Oh, he would
Family Guy and American Dad. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, he would be good. Jenny, I'm glad you called and made that suggestion. Yeah, we're also talking about who the Oscars should hire and who we hope they don't hire because the Oscars are still looking for a host after Kevin Hart quit. And this was over a controversy concerning anti-gay jokes told 10 years ago. This is our Blue Runner Foods poll question. Should a celebrity be judged by anti-gay jokes he told 10 years ago? 86% say no. 14% say yes. And a caller a few minutes ago brought up a really good point. As long as it was not done with malicious intent, and if it was funny, I mean, who cares? I mean, gays make fun of themselves. people make fun of themselves. So I don't know. I just don't think it's really a big deal. If it's a funny joke, if it's a joke, come on, it's just a joke. Terry, welcome to WWL.
How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, what's going on, Terry?
Well, I'm Terry from Terrytown on Terry Parkway. Well, I know all the Saints fans, you know, they're still pissed off by the Cowboys, you know, smack them in the mouth. They was lucky the ref cheated. You know, they're a bunch of crybabies. But it's set up for us to give them what they want. We're going to give them a rematch in the Superdome. We're going to come beat them in their own blood dome. So this for Bobby Abel. I want Bobby Abel to know the Cowgirls and what he called.
Yeah.
We take it personally. We're coming in the dome. And we're gonna be the Terror Dome.
All right, so you're predicting the Cowboys at a playoff game in the dome against the Saints and beating the Saints.
Exactly. We're gonna upset them. We're gonna not just beat them. We're gonna smash them. We're gonna blow them up.
Yeah. Well, I mean anything can happen. I don't see that happening. You know, in church yesterday, I mean, I saw something that was just so inappropriate. I mean, he looked like a nice guy. But I saw this guy accept communion wearing a Dallas Cowboys jacket. And am I the only one that just doesn't think that's right? I mean, I know they need forgiveness and all that kind of stuff, but I just, man, you know, wear something like that in church? I don't think so. All right, let's go to the break with this song from the Melotons, and it's called Take 'Em to the Woodshed. It's about the Saints. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back on WWL. We're going to talk about Santa's North Pole steam train here in just a moment. But let me share this text with you. I love this because somebody thinks they caught me. Somebody thinks they got me. The text says, ha ha, just caught you admitting to being a Democrat. What, because I said I like John Hickenlooper? Well, if I were a Democrat, I'd tell you, I might. I'm an independent. I'm registered. This is a fact. I mean, you can go to the records and check it out. Right there on the books, it says Scoot, independent. I mean, I'm registered as an independent. But why are people so quick to, like, I caught you. I got you. I got you. I got you now. No, because before I talked about John Hickenlooper, I also talked about Ben Sasse as a formidable candidate in 2020. Ben Sasse is a Republican, okay? Walt Pierce joins us on WWL. Walt is the president and president of the board of directors of the Louisiana Steam Train Association. Walt, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Scoot. I heard you talking earlier today about somebody comparing you and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and what you neglected to tell them is that you and I have the same problem. We both have faces for radio.
Yeah,
remember?
That's right, and I'm okay with that. And you know, yeah,
I am too.
I'm fine.
I am too.
Although I do a lot of videos, and I don't care about that either. Okay, so look, so tell me about Santa's North Pole steam engine, because this is something that it happens. It's going to happen December 15th on a Saturday. It's a historic, authentic Southern Pacific steam locomotive. So tell me what people can do.
Well, basically, we are going to take this historical gem, and we're going to pull people from the fly at Audubon Park to Mardi Gras World. They'll be going to Mardi Gras World. We'll go in and see everybody's holiday favorite, the Polar Express movie, and have cookies and hot chocolate and popcorn and things of that nature. We're encouraging parents and their kids to come in their pajamas and bring blankets to spread out so they can enjoy the movie. But, of course, you know, that's a big part of it. The even bigger part is the fact that you're being brought there by an authentic steam locomotive. SP-745 was an engine that was built in New Orleans, actually across the river in Algiers in 1921, almost 100 years ago. And it's the only surviving steam locomotive in the state of Louisiana, and it's a real historical gem, and it's a very special thing. And we thought that would really is a really special, different kind of way of doing a New Orleans holiday Christmas event.
Well,
after
does
the movie,
it, does
by the way, Scoot, we're going to go to Moonwalk and pick up Santa Claus right there in the French Quarter and then head our way back to Audubon Park and drop everybody off. So we did this for the first time last year, and we want to thank the New Orleans Public Bell Railroad for allowing us to do it. And we're doing it twice this year, a morning run, and we have an afternoon run. And I can tell you the morning run is sold out. the afternoon run, we still got seats left.
And this is Saturday, December 15th. Where can people go to get more information? Because this sounds like a great holiday thing to do. You get on this old locomotive. Walt, I'm sure this makes a lot of noise, right?
It does. I mean, yeah. The engine makes a lot of noise.
That's
it's
cool.
A steam engine. Of course, it has a steam whistle, and it sounds just like a steam engine because it is.
No, that's cool.
You can go to www.LASTA. That's the acronym for Louisiana Steam Train Association. So it's www.lasta.org/Santa. There you will find all the information about it, tells you everything, and how to purchase tickets.
Okay, cool. And so it goes from the Fly at Audubon Park to Mardi Gras World.
Right.
And then there's a movie, and then you go to the moonwalk to pick up Santa.
Right. You get back on the train, you go to the moonwalk, and you pick up Santa, and he'll be escorted to the train by a jazz band. And he gets on board, he greets everybody, passes out little trinkets and to the delight of the kids and the adults on board as well, as we make our way back to the Fly at Audubon Park, where we'll do it one more time in the afternoon. We did this, like I said, last year, and to a person who got off the train, they absolutely really enjoyed it. And it is a unique Christmas holiday event for New Orleans. It's not like anything else that you're going to find here in the city. And of course, the money that we raised for this all goes for the operation and maintenance of SP 745 to keep the old girl running and people enjoying it for years to come.
Yeah, so how much are tickets?
Well, tickets are $125 per seat. Now, I know that's a lot. This seems like a lot of money, but remember, it's costing us a lot of money to put this on from various aspects of it. And again, the money that we do raise once we clear the expenses will be used to maintain the engine. In fact, next year, the engine has to be, the boiler itself has to be totally rebuilt by Federal Railroad Administration rules. After 15 years, it has to be rebuilt because it's a pressure vessel, and it has to be rebuilt. So that costs a lot of money. And this is a way of us, you know, raising money to do that.
All right.
It's not the only way, but this is a way to do it. So that's the basic price of a ticket.
All right. Sounds like a lot of fun. And you say the morning's already sold out?
Morning sold out, believe it or not. We sold out the one trip we did last year. The morning has been sold out. I think we got 3 or 4 seats left in the morning. We've got a few more seats left for the afternoon. So if you really want to do this, and we encourage you to take a look at it and consider it, it'll really help us out, and you will have a good time.
Sounds like a good time. Walt Pierce, thanks for being with us.
And thank you, Scoot, for having us on.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you too, man. Thanks.
All right, it's Walt Pierce. He's president of board of directors of the Louisiana Steam Train Association, LASTA. Go to lasta.org/Santa and get some information about tickets. I'm Scoot. We are coming right back. Second guest show is coming up next with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottilier, live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beaches of Hancock County, Mississippi. And by the way, they've got one hell of a buffet. Take advantage of that while you're there. That's coming up next. From New Orleans, Norman, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Norman.
Hey, I tell you what, I have to agree with you more. When it comes to Sean Payton, you know, it seems like teams are trying to figure out, you know, how his offense is running and how his defense is coming to play, but I'm pretty sure he's got some tricks up his sleeve. And that trick play yesterday where Hill blocked that punt, I'm pretty sure we're going to see more of him going later into the season.
The only thing that concerns me about that guy is he's becoming so valuable that I'm not sure I'd use him on kickoffs, because that's such a high velocity part of the game that a lot of people get injured.
No, I agree with you. Also, I think that when the commentator yesterday labeled him as a Swiss Army knife, the guy can play anything. Just think about it. This guy. I mean, he's quick, he's fast. I mean, I'm sorry, he's fast, but he's also strong. He's smart.
Yeah.
So, but hey, listen, I think we have a good shot. Win it all. I know Chicago is tough. I see Dallas is putting up a fight. And so we're gonna see what happens, but. Hudak, all the way to Atlanta, can't wait, super pumped up.
Hope it happens. Norman, I'm glad you called the show. I don't, if it comes down to it, I don't see the Cowboys beating the Saints again. I don't see that happening. So, but I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where the Saints are going to go from here, but they do control their own destiny. And so I like the idea of just doing what it takes to win. Don't show anything special. But, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe it's that attitude that transcends through the whole team. Because they certainly didn't go into the Dallas game with the right attitude. And you know, if you feel like you're holding back on something, or you're not doing everything you can do in your job, or if you're a football player, whatever, you're tentative. If you're trying to hold back, if you're not going to show everything, you become tentative, as opposed to having the attitude of just going out there and doing it. So I like the idea of keeping some things secret or unexposed during these final games, but we have to do enough to win. And we have to go in with the right attitude, because, again, what would have happened if Taysom Hill had not blocked that punt? What would have happened if there would not have been that great spark to the Saints? Because those were the same players before the block punt. And after the block punt, they were acting totally different. So, anyway, it's going to be interesting to see. Here's a text that says, love your show. Thanks for saying it's okay to laugh. Well, I thank you for laughing. Thank you for all your text. Thanks for the calls. If you want to join me on Facebook, it's Scoot on the Air, S-O-T-A. That's also my Instagram account. On Twitter, it's at Scoot, W-W-L. I will be out tonight, so I don't know. I'll probably be active on those two places. And also, we've got a video on WWL Radio on Facebook, and I'll be part of that conversation later. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Ted Manessis, and our studio producer, Ian Hoke. Thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. We're back tomorrow, 1 o'clock, right here on WWL. Love you, New Orleans.